Metal Gear Solid 4 Integral Podcast. Broadcasted from Konami HQ in downtown Tokyo, it's the world-renowned Metal Gear Solid 4 Integral Podcast.
All right, everyone, welcome to episode number 5 of the MGS4 Integral Podcast. I'm Sean Eystone, and I am here with Aki Saito.
Hi, everyone.
And producer Ken Imaizumi.
Hello, everyone.
All right, today we're going to tackle the confinement facility.
Yes.
So just go ahead and load the save, which you should have prepared a couple weeks ago. And as soon as you enter, you'll get a call from Raiden. Mm-hmm. Just go ahead and listen to that call or skip through it, whatever you want. And you'll find yourself up on a ledge, and you'll have a beautiful view of these salt pans.
Do you guys have salt pan in US?
Not so common. You know, they have salt mines, but I think not so many salt pans. You know, I'm from Hawaii, and they kind of do this a similar thing. With the seawater. They kind of, you know, have the tide come in and they have the seawater trapped in kind of like a pond, and then they let it dry and take the salt off of it. Mm. But I'm not sure if they have that in the mainland US. Uh-huh. It's kind of funny how this ended up in here because, you know, originally the crew that went to South America, this salt pan area wasn't on their tour originally.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to go somewhere else that day, but for various reasons, they couldn't go on the tour they intended to go on, and the tour guide suggested they come to this salt pan area and took them on a tour there. And, you know, the group went there and saw this scenery and thought, wow, you know, this is really great. We want to put this in the game. Uh-huh. And so here it is.
It is really, you know, looks pretty beautiful because, you know, these white thing, that the salt thing, it looks so real.
Well, at first, I didn't know what it was. When I came into the stage, I didn't know what they were because, you know, I was so anxious proceeding forward, actually. Mm. But when you take a good view, well, actually, you know, I think a lot of people did, but, you know, traveled around here, up on the salt pans here and there, made you kind of look again, look twice. I mean, at first, I thought they were like kind of huts.
Kind of like burrow, kind of like a living underground kind of thing. Like,
well, you know, during elementary school, I had this class where Native Americans. No. Oh. The Incas.
Okay.
And we kind of clay modeled these houses and huts that was made of mud, and this kind of reminded me.
Okay. The house?
Yeah, houses and things like that. So I thought it was like that.
Mm.
But actually, it isn't because, you know, the height is so, as a house, it's just too small.
Right. Mm.
That's true.
But you know, one thing about the height, actually, is that when they actually went to these salt pans, they were actually much higher. But when we wanted to put them into the game, you know, they were a little bit too high because it was just too easy to hide.
Mm-hmm.
And so the game didn't really hold up. So actually, the height was intentionally lowered a little bit to make you have to kind of crouch and hide as you proceed through the area.
Uh-huh.
But you know, since you mentioned the Inca thing, you know, actually these salt pans, according to the tour guide, have been around since pre-Inca times.
Oh, really?
So it is, you know, an old tradition in Peru where, you know, the native people do this. There's like an underwater stream and they irrigate it into these salt flats. So the water that comes out from underground, of course, is full of salt, and then they let it dry in these pans, and that's where they got their salt from.
I see. Well, yeah, it definitely kind of reminded me of that elementary school art class that I had. So, Sean, where are we gonna head?
All right, so if you proceed down the slope a little bit, first thing you'll see is a military vehicle coming in from your left.
Yeah.
And when you get to the bottom of these steps, to your right, you'll see an enemy. So let's put him to sleep. Okay, so let's try and climb up one of these onto one of these salt pans, because there is a cool octocamel that you can get up here. As long as you're laying down, you won't get found by the patrolling PMT soldiers. So let's just talk a little bit. In the last stage, we talked about, you know, being able to save octocam patterns.
Yeah.
So for people who are trying to collect really unusual patterns for their octocamel, you can actually get a unique pattern at these salt flats, which you can get nowhere else in the game.
Cool.
So for anyone who wants to have a complete collection of obscure octocam patterns.
Okay, so we got this unique, this stage only.
Right.
The salt pan camel.
Yeah. If you go and save it, you'll notice it's actually not called salt camel. You know, it's water camel.
Uh-huh.
But it's a really unique pattern. And, you know, basically the different camouflage falls into different categories, like, you know, water camel or soil camel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's called the same thing, but the textures are all different. You know, all unique depending on, you know, where you took the sample.
This definitely doesn't look like water.
Yeah.
More.
Well, it's salty water, right?
Yeah, it looks quite cool.
Yeah, that was really tough job you guys are doing, man. making those camel patterns. That was really hard because they make the background graphics and they make the all, you know, kinds of the, those camel patterns. Took a long time.
And it must be more than dozens of them.
Oh, 100. I mean, it's a lot. I don't even know how many there are. Yeah. But new ones would always keep on popping up also because, you know, they're always tweaking the art and, you know, you want to tweak something. Oh, it'd be cooler if it looked like this. But then, of course, as soon as you change it, you got to change the octo camel. Yeah. So.
Is it unlimited? You could save how many camouflage patterns?
I think we have a maximum number.
But quite a lot. You could save quite a lot. And then where do we?
So we're going to go to...
Where are we heading?
Okay. You'll see the road a little bit further down this ledge. And this actually hooks up to the road that you saw earlier. Now, you could take two routes here. When you come down to this road, you could head to the right, which kind of goes, I guess, to the east, like to the northeast. Or you could take the left. If you take the right path, it'll head to the confinement facility, which is a pretty big facility, and there's a lot of battle going on there. So that's more of an action-oriented approach. On the other hand, if you want to take the left path and kind of stick to these salt flats, these salt pans, you can head up to a smaller facility where some POWs are being held and help them escape. And it's kind of a shortcut. So let's head to the left because, you know, it's the sneakier route and there's some pretty cool items in that direction.
Okay.
Let's go. Let's go.
All right. So stick to the top of these salt pans. Don't go down to the road. Just kind of sneak along here in a crouched position. You know, you'll see guys here, so be careful not to draw attention to yourself. If you are spotted, just go ahead and put him to sleep. Okay, so proceed onward, sticking to the left path.
It's kind of a small corridor.
Yeah, you'll kind of go, there's like an archway.
Yeah.
Just head through these archways.
So we're proceeding through this corridor of salt pans on your right. And also there's some salt pans on the left top, right?
Yeah, kind of up the hill, there's a lot of salt pans and it just kind of cascades down the hill towards the bottom. So we just want to stick to the high road here. Don't take the lower road. You'll see some enemies patrolling down there. So you can go ahead and put them to sleep.
Okay, so we take the road alongside this fence.
Yeah, there's a wooden fence. And it heads up behind another one of these billboards.
Okay, we'll stop once we hit the green.
Yeah.
The green part.
So head up till you get to this grass, and then you can just hide in this grass here. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, so from this vantage point, you can see there's a guard tower in the distance and a few guards patrolling the yard here. So, you know, you want to take these guys out. Just go ahead and do that. Take these guys out.
You missed it.
Yeah, I missed him. Let me try that again.
It's a little too far.
Yeah, it's pretty far. You know, if you're using a sniper rifle, you can probably get this guy. But if you're using your Mark II pistol, it's a little hard to hit him. But yeah, just go ahead and take these guys out.
Okay. And then where do we...
So we're going to go to...
Where are we heading?
Okay, so now you want to head down the hill. There's a shack on your left.
Yeah.
And you'll see there are some POWs in that shack.
Yeah.
And so we want to free these guys.
Okay.
And keep on going until you hit this truck.
Okay.
When you get to the truck, turn to your left, and you'll see a couple of enemies. There's one enemy standing in front of that small building to your left, and another enemy beyond that in the larger L-shaped building. So what we want to do is put this guy to sleep, who's guarding this small building. But be careful, because when you do so, the guy inside of the larger building may come out to fight, so be careful and be ready to put him to sleep as well. So put him down and go into the building and save the resistance members. You can also pick up a Playboy inside of this room, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so now let's head back outside. So go outside of this small building. Then as soon as you exit the door, turn to your left. You'll see the larger building straight ahead of you. So let's head that way. You should be heading west. And head forward until you hit the wall of this large building. When you do, just follow the wall around the corner. You should be heading to your left. And then when you round the corner on your right, you'll see a door. So let's head in through that door.
Okay.
Once you enter the building, you want to just be heading north and go through the door on the north end of this room, and beyond that you'll see another room with a hole in the floor.
Yeah, this broken hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And near that, you'll find a very cool item, the VSS, yes. Silenced Sniper Rifle, which is a very useful item. So go ahead and pick that up. And there's also a stun grenade and a bunch of other stuff here. You can also drop down to the hole and pick up a bunch of more, you know, cool little items.
Uh-huh.
One thing is if you free the prisoners and you set them free and you follow them, they actually run past the guard station, that tower at the far end. And near that station is a path that leads to the east and down to kind of like a mine shaft.
Let's head that way.
Right.
Okay.
So basically just backtrack, head back out through the door on the south end of this room. And as soon as you go out that door, turn to your left.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you just want to head straight on out until you hit the truck outside.
Yeah.
Once you get to the truck, turn to your left, and you should see the tower straight ahead. So if you head that way, you'll see this mine shaft.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually a really huge shortcut. You can skip over the entire confinement facility itself.
Oh, really?
And head straight to the Vista Mansion from here.
Yeah, well, actually, I didn't notice this when I first played at all. So I
really,
went the official route, so to say.
The whole thing about people noticing, you know, from the very beginning, I think there are a lot of paths where you can take either left or right.
Yeah.
Especially right after the power station, you have either the road or there's the forest path.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of people tend to take the road because it's, you know, really obvious.
Yeah.
It looks like the path that you're supposed to take.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who take that path, you know, they may not even see the salt pans at all. So, you know, it really pays to explore and take a look around.
Hmm.
You know, another good thing to do is actually backtrack. Once you come here and rescue the prisoners, if you want to get all the items and take the road back to the confinement facility.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are some cool items back there as well.
Oh, multi-path.
Right. So, you know, it's up to you. If you want to get through the stage as quickly as possible, say, you know, you want to earn a certain badge for finishing the game within a certain amount of time, then you should probably take the shortcut and head straight to the mansion. But if you want to take the more complete route and gather all the items, then you can take the road heading to the right, and you can pick up some cool items there, like the M870, which is a shotgun that you can load with V-ring rounds to knock people out.
Okay, so we just picked up VSS. Can you explain a little bit more about the VSS?
Yeah, it's basically it's a silenced sniper rifle.
Mm.
And it's basically just a really useful sniper rifle because you can take people out without them noticing you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyways, in the mansion there's a couple of points you want to
point out. Cool little things. You know, I mean it's nothing that'll affect your game at all, but there's some hidden things in the mansion some fans might want to find. You know, there's been posters in Metal Gears before with like swimsuit models and things like that.
Uh-huh.
I think most notably people remember them from Metal Gear Solid 2, you know, 3 and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go into Vista Mansion, there's one of a very popular Japanese swimsuit model, right?
Yeah.
What was her name?
Akina.
Akina, right? For people who want to see who Akina is, you can go into the Vista Mansion, and if you go in through the front door, take a right, there'll be some pictures on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And you go ahead and shoot those pictures, and behind one of the picture frames, you'll see a hidden Akina poster.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can see one there downstairs. Then also, when you head upstairs in the Vista Mansion, before you head outside on the second floor, there's a bed, and if you lay down on that bed and look up, there's actually an Akina poster on the ceiling right above the bed. So, so for people who want to know who Akina is, that's a good place to find out.
Well, also, if you recently come to Japan, she's really becoming really, really popular. So you'll see Akina all over on cover of magazines.
Right, right.
Famous TV programs. She's really, really popular now. So I think no doubt that you should check this out in the Vista Mansion.
People who want to know a little bit more about what's popular in Japan, who's popular in Japan. Okay, so one thing about these Akina posters, aside from being nice to look at, you know, if Snake looks at them, just like looking at a Playboy, he'll recover some of his stamina. So, you know, if you don't want to take the time to use an item, you can just stare at these posters and it'll help you out a little bit.
Yeah.
Definitely another reason to look at.
Yeah.
Look at her.
It's just an excuse.
Yeah. Oh, there's other magical thing about this Akina posters that Ken mentioned.
Right.
Yeah, this is a very magical poster. That's because, you know, normally you shoot a gun and then you got to, you know, the wall or, you know, there's pretty got to...
Like a bullet hole.
Bullet hole.
But these posters, you know, you're not going to get any...
You can't destroy them.
Right.
You
Akina cannot. Is all powerful.
Yeah,
wow.
She's very powerful. And plus, you will listen to the, you know, Snake.
Right. Yeah, when you look at the poster, you'll say, you know, Akina.
Or
it's Akina.
It's Akina.
Yeah. So you can hear, I guess, an unusual line for Snake. When we're planning this stage early on, there was another shortcut that we were thinking of putting in earlier on after the power plant.
Yeah.
There's the left path and the right path, and there's the road. One of the ideas that was being tossed around at that time was maybe you could sneak onto one of the trucks that was taking the road, and you could actually take a shortcut by climbing onto a truck and just riding along with those guys as they went into the Vista Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the problem with that, of course, is that it's a little bit too much of a shortcut. You know, you bypass this whole area, so we decided not to do that. But, yeah, this one is still here. This one is pretty good because it's hidden, you know, and I think if people don't free those POWs, it's kind of hard to find. Okay, so, you know, whether you take the path back to the confinement facility and get more items, or whether you take the shortcut, I think we'll wrap it up here. Either path you take, you'll eventually end up at Vista Mansion and continue on to the next stage.
Well, I kind of noticed, Sean, Ken, that there's differences. Of course, Japanese and English phrases are different, like names.
Names like is different.
Pronounced differently.
Right.
From Japanese, a famous one is probably Naomi.
Right.
In America.
America, most people would probably say Naomi.
Naomi?
Right. Naomi.
Okay, so Naomi and Naomi, most Japanese or people in Kojima Productions probably just pronounce it Naomi, which is a very Japanese way of saying. Others like Otakon.
Right.
So the team members always says Otakon.
Otakon.
But American people
say Otakon.
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 Otakon. Otakon.
Right. You know, like some character names are totally different. Mm-hmm. Like the character name from the Street Fighter 2, you know, Ryu.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
Is a Ryu, right?
Right.
Ryu in English and Ryu in Japanese.
Yeah.
So do you guys have a problem to pronounce, you know, like Ryu sound?
I actually did. You know, before I learned Japanese, you know, I played Street Fighter and stuff, and I always said Ryu.
Oh, really?
Ryu. It's just because in English, when you write R-Y-U, that's what you would say. You know, there's no Ryu sound in English.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
And so, like, unless you speak to somebody who speaks Japanese or you listen to an example, I don't think anybody would think of pronouncing R-Y-U as Ryu.
Oh.
They'd always say Ryu. Because that's the way it would be pronounced. You know, one that's a big problem is actually Raiden. Because, you know, in Metal Gear, from the very beginning, there's voice acting, so they know it's Raiden. But most people, when they see Raiden written, they think it's Raiden.
Raiden.
And so, like, in other games, there have actually been characters named Raiden.
Oh, the fighting game, right?
Right, like Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
And most people always said Raiden.
Raiden.
Or even, like, the old shooting game, you know, Raiden. Right. People would always say Raiden.
Yeah.
So I think for Metal Gear, it's not so much a problem because there is voice acting, so people can hear, you know, the correct pronunciation.
Okay, that's another Kojima production terminology. There's a famous one from Hideo Kojima himself, is when he talks about cameras. So FPS camera or the first person view.
Yeah, first person.
But third person. Hideo calls it something totally different. He calls it the the ass camera.
Ass camera. That's a ketsukame.
Ketsukame.
Ketsukame, that's he, you know, he said.
Ketsu means yes, and kame is short for camera.
Camera.
So Hideo always says, you know, ketsukame.
Ketsukame.
Yeah. I think that kind of threw me off when I first came to Kojima Productions, you know, cuz you know, you can go into third person view. And everybody's always saying, Kitsukame. Like, what is Kitsukame? You know, I knew what it was from context, but you know, I wasn't sure why they called it, you know, this.
It's because you could see the whole backside of the character. It doesn't necessarily, you're not looking at this character's butt, but you could see the whole butt and everything.
Right.
I guess Hideo started to call it
Kitsukame. But you know, some people get confused because a kame is a, you know, shorter word of the camera, right? But you know, the kame is also the total.
Yeah, that's right, turtle.
Japanese, so the butt turtle.
Butt turtle.
Ass turtle.
Yeah. Ass turtle. What does that mean?
Yeah, I just want to know.
It's another one. And also, a lot of people get confused about how we say the cutscenes.
Cutscenes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that I actually mix up a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just because I've worked in a Japanese company for so long, I always say it the Japanese way, which is
demo.
Demo, right? So you watch this demo. But in English, you know, most people say cutscene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you say demo, a lot of people are going to think it's like a demo of the game, you know, like a trial
version. Yeah, trial version. Yeah.
Okay, what do we have planned for episode 6?
Okay, episode 6, we're going to jump to Europe.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to do the stalking mission.
Yes.
Which is one of my favorite sequences in the entire game.
This is a very controversial.
It's a very divisive yes. stage.
Yes. So make sure you tune in next time. So where's our meeting point?
Okay, so we'll just start from the beginning of the stage, basically. So go ahead and get to Eastern Europe, and you're going to have to track the resistance member as soon as you exit the train station, and we'll pick up from there.
Okay.
See you at the right after demo.
Right.
Yeah.
After that demo ends.
That means cutscenes.
Okay, thanks guys. See you next time.
See ya.
Bye.
All right, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Metal Gear Solid 4 Integral Podcast. Check back next time for more tips, tricks, and insider info on Metal Gear Solid 4. Brought to you by Kojima Productions and Hideo Kojima himself. Make sure to send in your comments to Hideo Blog. See you next time.